This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across our nation this morning. Good to be with you. As you know, on Wednesdays, we are encouraged to go to Joseph, to pray to St. Joseph and invoke his powerful intercession, especially to obtain a good and holy death. And you can always go to Joseph for any one of your needs. I also want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverance, this morning. Glenn, the world is watching the situation in Ukraine. What is the latest?
Well, no war yet, right? So that's some good news.
Praise
there,
the Lord.
President Biden addressed the country and also addressed anyone watching, including the leader and the people of Russia as well, warning that strict sanctions were in line if anything would happen on the border. And, we had talked a little before we got on the air this morning, too, both sides acknowledging he looked presidential with that. But how effective that will be is the main point. But nothing yet. Russia has said they've started to pull some troops back from the border. NATO cautiously looking for evidence of that on the ground and not seeing anything yet. And so, still kind of in the same situation that we have been, but diplomacy still continues.
Absolutely. Distrust but verify is the mindset of many. Here's what President Biden had to say yesterday from the White House.
We should give the diplomacy every chance to succeed. And I believe there are real ways to address our respective security concerns. Fact remains, right now, Russia has more than 150,000 troops encircling Ukraine and Belarus and along Ukraine's border. An invasion remains distinctly possible. That's why I've asked several times that all Americans in Ukraine leave now before it's too late to leave safely. I will not pretend this will be painless. There could be impact on our energy prices.
And Glenn, there's speculation that gas at the pump could go up as much as $1.50 if Russia does go on to invade Ukraine. So we continue to pray for that situation. The U.S. Embassy in Kiev is temporarily closed. So many prayers from a lot of different places all across our world.
Yeah, our first concern, of course, would be a loss of life there, but the economic impact could be felt around the world with inflation nearing 10% in the U.S. It's thought that any entanglement with Russia could send it over 10%, including big effects on gas and energy prices, which, of course, ripple down through the rest of the economy. And on a lighter note, at the Olympics, things continue. The U.S. Kind of putting along and forth with medals, having won 8 gold, 7 silver, and 4 bronze, but there'll be no gold, John, in hockey.
Yeah, no gold in hockey. The top-seeded Team USA lost to Slovakia 3-2 in a shootout in overtime. In fact, they were leading the entire game until 43 seconds left when Slovakia tied it and then went on to win it. So too bad for Team USA, but that's the way that sports works, especially at the Olympic level, Glenn.
And great experience for Team USA, too, made up largely of college players after the NHL decided to sit this out.
Absolutely. We'll check in with you with much more next hour. Thanks, Glenn.
All right. Sounds good.
We begin every show and every hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for our many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And this morning, we especially continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia in Eastern Europe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life, as we do every morning, is from Luke 1:48. Our Blessed Mother Mary says in the Canticle of the Magnificat, "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." The great song of Mary, Our Lady, proclaims the greatness of the Lord. She is full of grace, and that is why all generations call her blessed. That's why we as Catholics call Mary the Blessed Mother. Mary is the Mother of God, the Mother of our Savior, the Mother of the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Mother of the Word incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ. She's the same Virgin Mary who came to the Americas as Our Lady of Guadalupe. Never hesitate to go to Mary, our Mother, who always leads us to Christ, her Son. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, can you believe that Lent begins 2 weeks from today? Where has time gone? Ash Wednesday is coming up on March 2nd. Here at Relevant Radio, you can take your Lent experience to the next level with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass, absolutely free to you every day. Because you loved last year's in-depth walkthrough of the Mass, we produced even more brand new exclusive video content for every day to enrich your passion for the Holy Mass. As Father Rocky likes to call it, this super-duper premium edition high-definition video series goes even deeper behind the scenes from the moment you enter a chapel to the final blessing. From Ash Wednesday to Easter morning, illuminate your Lent with daily insights you can only find right in your inbox. You can sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. That's relevantradio.com/Lent. And I just got to tell you, I signed up yesterday. The trailer looks fantastic. Father Rocky looks great. It looks like an outstanding series. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, as I just mentioned, Lent is coming up in only 2 weeks. That's right, only 14 days from today, we begin with Ash Wednesday on March 2nd this year. The question is, are we ready? Are you ready? What are some resolutions or things that you might want to work on during this upcoming Lent? Our next guest, Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, will bring us four questions to ask ourselves before Lent begins. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and Catholic media personality. Good morning, Marge. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's always good to be with you.
Good morning. My pleasure. It's mutual. It's always a pleasure to be here with the Morning Air folks, and especially today, as you know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, yeah, I knew it in my head. It's 2 weeks away. But now when I hear you say it, it's like, oh my goodness, we just took our Christmas decorations down a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
It's like, oh my goodness. But that's good. That little, you know, flutter in the heart is a good sign, because that's exactly where we all should be at, realizing that we have a very important journey before us, and that's Lent, of course. But when you think about it, any journey, any important journey, any you know, say you're going to do a road trip, and you don't just get in your car and drive. There's preparation that goes with that, because you want to make sure that you can, first of all, complete the trip and that you have what you need and so forth, that all goes well. Well, Lent is the same. Oh, actually more important, because we're talking about our soul, but careful preparation will make for a far more fruitful Lent. And so it's time, yes, you're right, 2 weeks, it seems like, oh yeah, I got a couple of weeks yet to decide what I'm going to do for Lent. But really not, because we need this 2 weeks to really prep. You know, everybody talks about prepping. Well, it's time to be prepping for Lent. And that preparation begins with observation. My sense, and the people that I work with, preparation and invoking the Holy Spirit and asking ourselves, as you mentioned, there are four key questions to be asking ourselves in these couple of weeks that will help us to realize where we're at spiritually and then understand what it is that we really need to do and work on. You know, it's more than just giving up chocolate. Why do you give up the chocolate, and what is that going to do for you spiritually? So four questions, and I do want to let the listeners know, you can change these up, but I think you'll get the general idea of where we should be going with this. So the first one is, and we could do this during our examination of conscience, or just take a few minutes during the day and ask yourself, what sin do I find myself confessing over and over? If there's one where every time you're in the confessional, it's like, oh, this one again, Father. Oh, dear. That's a signal that you've got something to, you know, seriously work on. Because if you keep falling into that sin, that tells you about yourself. What's your weakness? What trips you up on your journey? And then the second question is, what spiritual practices do I find it hardest to maintain? This will say a lot about how disciplined you are or not, and I'm a little of both.
I'm taking mental notes, Marge. This is great stuff. I'm just thinking, okay, patience, fasting. You know, the first thing that comes to mind, fasting. That's always a toughie.
Yeah, but you know, if it's something like you really have a tough time going to Mass on Sunday mornings because you'd prefer to sleep in, that's a flag. You need to pay attention to that and work on that during Lent, or, you know, maybe your meal prayers, or I don't know, could be a multitude of things. But what are the spiritual practices you find it hardest to maintain? That also is something to keep in mind when you set up your Lenten program, your Lenten journey. And then the third one is you know, there's a lot of hype in psychology, triggers. Well, what triggers sinfulness in me? It's a question to ask yourself. So it could be food, it could be certain people or situations, maybe it's emotions or entertainment or a particular time of day.
Too much sugar can trigger lack of patience for some folks.
That's right. Or, you know, maybe somebody just they cannot pass up potato chips. You know, there was that old commercial, you know, you can't eat just one. Maybe it's some kind of food where you just lose it and completely fall into gluttony. Maybe there's a certain person or kind of situation that just makes you seethe inside and turn uncharitable. It happens. Or a certain kind of emotion where, you know, if I'm feeling self-pity or sad about one or the other thing, I'll tend to kind of put God aside and do things that might not be fortifying for my soul. So on and on like that. But what triggers? What are your triggers? Those are the things to get rid of during Lent, to really work on during Lent. And then finally, what faults get in the way of my spiritual striving? There are, you know, boy, I can't even tell you how many faults I have, John. But excuse me, but there are certain faults that will just discourage you. And it's not that it's bad to have a fault. That doesn't automatically make us a sinful person. But our faults are that those things that are just, we're just too weak. We're just, or we're constantly reverting to this or that kind of behavior. What are the ones that get in the way of your spiritual striving?
And Marge, it takes humility to admit one's faults, to admit, hey, I fall short in this area, because none of us, of course, are perfect. We all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. So we got to put it in perspective and know that we need the Lord's grace to keep running the race.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And humility, and you know, it's no fun. I've been doing this for years for myself, and I've recommended this little system to many people. And yeah, it's no fun in the sense that it requires humility and an honest look at yourself, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to really, I ask the Holy Spirit, you know, please allow me to see my heart as God the Father sees it. so that I can really put myself aside and get to the root of the, you know, the real answers to these questions. And with that guidance, that does help me. But it takes being fearless in the sense of I'm not afraid to take a look. I'm not afraid to really look at the map of this journey and see what roads do I really have to avoid and what ones do I have to take, you know, get on board and get moving toward a very fruitful finish to Lent.
Marge, I always like to think of Lent as kind of a spiritual spring training where we go back to the basics, to the fundamentals, kind of like the baseball players do in spring training where they've been playing since they were little kids, and yet these grown men, Major League Baseball players, practice all the little things that they've been doing since they were little. For us, we go back to the basics during Lent, and it can be sort of a spiritual spring training for us.
Oh, that's a great analogy, and it's similar to going on a journey. You know, you don't just walk out there with the bat and glove and say, okay, let's play. I'm going to win this game, because it takes practice and preparation. So Lent takes practice and preparation. And you're right. It is spring training. It's spring training so that when Easter morning comes, we truly have a converted self. It's all about conversion. It's about change. We don't want to remain the same. We don't want to do these things during Lent and then end up at the end of Lent, year after year, being just the same person. That defeats the whole idea of Lent, because even, you know, when we think of conversion, oh, that's somebody who never knew the faith or, excuse me, perhaps denied the faith. No, no, no. This kind of conversion, it's more like reversion, but I like to use conversion because you're converted more closely to the image of Christ and converted more deeply into your love of Christ. And that's monumental. That's a huge process that, you know, I've done it myself. You know, Ash Wednesday is like, oh gosh, I didn't decide what I'm going to give up. Oh, okay, hey, that sounds good. So we don't want that. We don't want that, oh, that sounds good at the last minute. We want to be well prepared.
At the end of the day, our preparation really is to change our hearts, to convert our hearts so that we're ready for the Easter Triduum, the three most important days in the history of the world, the death, passion, and then ultimately the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes, and I do look forward to that every year, because it's like, if I can just get there, if I can just get to that point, and then during the Triduum is that final leg of the journey, so to speak.
A final word of encouragement for our listeners, as we realize we're only 2 weeks away from Ash Wednesday.
Two words: God's grace. With God's grace, all things are possible. So, you know, He made you. He loves you. He knows He made you as you are on purpose. That's no accident. And you are amazing in His eyes. So it's there. It's there under the surface. We just have to uncover it with God's help and the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Well, Marge, I really appreciate this outstanding four really good questions for all of us to take to heart here in preparation, in anticipation of Lent. And again, your website, margefenelon.com, for much more from Marge. And she's written a lot of wonderful books, especially on the Blessed Mother. Marge, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Take care.
God bless you. Marge Fenelon, award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and Catholic media personality. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we're going to go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, with the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. Stay with us. There's a lot more to come after this.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on a Wednesday morning. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us. Now it's time, as you can hear, to bring Rome to home, as we do every Wednesday at this time for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live this morning to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And of course, you can always read much more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Always great to connect with you from Roma.
Buongiorno, John. Very happy to be with you on this fine day and to share a little bit of Roma to Homa, to home.
There you go. Grazie. I am always looking to perfect my pronunciation on the Italian.
Well, you know, actually, that's a difficult word. The simple word that means thank you, it has a little bit of a vowel sound at the end that we Americani may not be used to. Grazie. It's got that little bit of an eh at the end. Grazie. Like that.
So oh, you can my keep, goodness. I'll have to, yep, that's I'll have the to practice
word
it.
For the day. Your word for the day. Yes.
This is what happens when a Hispanic tries to speak Italian. In fact, when I went to Rome, I would speak to the cabbies in Spanish and they would always seem to understand me.
That's great. Yes, exactly. Spanish and Italian are so similar, which is really fantastic for Spanish speakers who come, but they're also a bit dangerously similar for those who don't necessarily know either language well. And it's so easy to get them all jumbled up. But the good news is, like you said, John, it's really easy to be understood in either one. So it's great.
Sounds good. Ashley, let's talk about the Holy Father's Wednesday audience. He continues to talk about the importance of Saint Joseph. Once again, you talk about this morning's focus on Saint Joseph.
Yes, on the wonderful Saint Joseph. And today's focus was on Saint Joseph as the patron of the Universal Church. And today, the Pope let us know that this is the last of his cycle of catechesis on Saint Joseph. So you may recall, John, that I've been reporting on this cycle since November of last year, since the end of the year of Saint Joseph. And the Pope explained that he has presented these catechesis as a complement to his apostolic letter, Patris Cordae, which of course marked the 150th anniversary of the proclamation of St. Joseph as patron of the Catholic Church by Blessed Pius IX. And so today he really reflected on that idea of St. Joseph, the patron of the universal church. He looked first at St. Joseph's role in the Gospels and said that we see him as a constant protector, because Saint Joseph's task, of course, is to protect Jesus and Mary and to be their guardian. And he said that Jesus and his mother are the most precious treasures of the faith. So Saint Joseph's job is to guard those treasures. And today the Pope went on to say that for all Christians, in a similar way to Joseph, we are asked to guard life, to guard human development, to guard the human mind, to guard the human heart, and to guard human work, he said. And he encouraged the faithful to ask the question, am I protecting Jesus and Mary with all my strength? And he said, protecting every person who is hungry and thirsty, every stranger, every person without clothes, every sick person, every prisoner is like protecting the child Jesus, who Joseph, of course, looked after. And then in looking at St. Joseph as the patron of the universal church, the Pope encouraged all Catholics to love the church, said to love the sacraments and the people of God, to love the poor and the parish. And he said, loving these realities is loving the Christ child and his mother. So he asked people to recognize the goodness and holiness within Mother Church, as well as the inconsistencies and sins. He called the church a people of sinners who encounter God's mercy. And then finally today, the Pope concluded this final catechesis on St. Joseph with a prayer, asking all Catholics to turn to St. Joseph in the most difficult time of their lives and the difficult times in their communities and in the world. So, John, how about if we finish today talking about the audience with that prayer that was prayed today in the audience?
Absolutely.
Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail, guardian of the Redeemer, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you, God entrusted his only Son. In you, Mary placed her trust. And with you, Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father and guide us in the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage, and defend us from every evil. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What a beautiful prayer, and I love that the Holy Father has been focusing on St. Joseph, not only all of last year during the year of St. Joseph, but he has continued, and I guess today was the finale, but there's so much for us to meditate on. It's such a deep subject, and also his relationship to the Holy Family. It's a beautiful thing. Every Wednesday here on Morning Air, I always make it a point to remind the folks to pray to Joseph. Go to Joseph every single Wednesday, so we're in line with the Holy Father.
Oh, great. Well, you know, he called Jesus, Mary, and Joseph the primordial nucleus of the church today. So it's the understanding that we should go right to the heart of the church, to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, of course, as we intercede for the well-being and the spiritual growth of our own families, John.
Ashley, the Second World Day for Grandparents and Elderly, the theme for this occasion has been revealed. So what is it?
Yes. So yesterday it was announced that the theme will be, it'll reflect on Psalm 92, verse 15, in old age, they will still bear fruit. And to give you a little background, John, about the World Day for Grandparents and Elderly, this is something that is planned through the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life here in Rome at the Holy See. And this was something that was started specifically to remember grandparents and the elderly and celebrated around the 26th of July always, which is the feast of Saints Anne and Joachim, of course, the grandparents of Jesus. So it always will fall on the fourth Sunday of July. This year, it's going to be July 24th. So the theme, again, in old age, they will still bear fruit from Psalm 92. The theme intends to emphasize how grandparents, how the elderly are of great value, how they are a gift for society, for families, and of course, for church communities, and that their experience of life and faith is so valuable and is such a beautiful contribution. In fact, in the announcement, the Pope also encouraged the elderly to continue to spread the gospel in old age. He said, "Your prayer is a very precious resource, a deep breath that the church and the world urgently need." Isn't that the truth? And so with this announcement yesterday, John, this means that preparations in Rome and throughout the Universal Church will officially begin to celebrate, preparation to celebrate this day in July. And in addition, the church will provide some resources, or the Vatican will provide some resources for parishes around the world to use, John.
And Ashley, when I think of grandparents and the elderly, just think of the last couple of years, the last 2 years during this pandemic, how difficult it has been, especially for the elderly. So many of them have perished because of the pandemic. And so it's been an especially trying time for our grandparents and elderly.
It sure has. And this will be a wonderful opportunity to shine a spotlight and to remember their how important they are to all of us. Pope Francis said to beware of keeping elderly people on the margins of society and families. And this day is meant to certainly change that way of thinking, which is something that we have witnessed, I know, in the U.S. and in Italy as well.
And there has been another celebration, as the Italians love to do, that is celebrate. An Italian pasta is celebrating its birthday. What is going on?
Yes, exactly. So we're all raising our glasses to give a cheer. A few days ago was National Fettuccine Alfredo Day, John. Can you believe it? This actually is a birthday for a pasta that was born in Bella Roma itself. And people might be familiar with pasta, that egg fettuccine. It's made with this fettuccine Alfredo. It's made with butter and Parmesan. It later was creamed. But the history, not many people realize it goes goes back to a restaurant here called Alfredo alla Scrofa. And this is a restaurant over by Piazza del Popolo. It's absolutely fantastic. They have pictures of all kinds of stars and presidents and people who visited them, that these black and white photos that hang on the walls. Well, this historic recipe goes back to 1914. And Alfredo Di Leglio created this new type of pasta, especially for his wife. She was, after giving birth, she was fatigued. She just didn't have her energy back. And of course, in the perfect Italian fashion, he was sure that a perfect plate of pasta would be the exact cure. So how do they do it? Well, of course, they use that wonderful, thin, fresh, homemade fettuccine. They put it in boiling water for just about 30 seconds, because again, this is fresh pasta. And then it goes right from the pot to a deep serving dish. They put fresh butter all over it. They cover it with very fine Parmesan cheese, aged Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. And then in the restaurant...
You're making me hungry, Ashley.
Oh, yes. And it's only 6:30 in the morning. Exactly. Well, it's an absolutely wonderful experience at this restaurant, because as the pasta is being prepared, they prepare it right in front of you. They bring out the fresh pasta, then they bring out the Parmigiano Reggiano and the butter. They do everything, mix it right there before you. And there's a particular rhythm. They talk about the certain rhythm that is used, the way that they mix it. And then they hold the noodles. They pull the noodles up high and let them fall down so the flavors can mix. And it is so rich. It's really actually very different from what we might be used to as fettuccine Alfredo in the U.S., but it is something to try on your next trip to Roma.
Oh, my goodness. It sounds fantastic. You are painting such a delectable picture that I could almost smell the fettuccine Alfredo. I got a question for you. Does Tre Scalini, one of my favorite restaurants in Bella Roma, do they serve fettuccine Alfredo?
You know, probably not, because it's actually not a common item on the menus here. It's really more of a specialty. So you have to go right to where it all began. You have to go to Alfredo's.
Sounds great. Well, we'll have to make a note of that. And we just celebrated St. Valentine's Day. How was it celebrated in Italia?
Well, John, there was a great big celebration that went on in the town of Terni, Italy, and that is because St. Valentine himself was a bishop in the 3rd century in the city of Terni. Now, they hosted a 5-day festival. It was actually a chocolate festival. They had all kinds of chocolate-making demonstrations and workshops. They had pastry chefs from throughout Italy there. And, of course, there were many special masses. There was a novena of masses and rosary that was being celebrated in the Basilica of St. Valentine there. Inside, you can find the relics of St. Valentine. There's a sign that hangs above, San Valentino, Patrono dell'Amore, St. Valentine, Patron of Love. But I didn't even have to go that far, John, because right here in Rome are also relics of the great St. Valentine. His skull is kept inside of the church of Santa Maria in Cosmedin, which is right on the Tiber River. And people may know that church better as the church that houses the famous Bocca della Verità, the mouth of truth. And so you walk into this church. What you see today are an 8th century, 12th century decorations of this church. But we had a private mass there for friends at the altar where St. Valentine's relics are kept. It was celebrated by the Norbertines, the American Norbertines from California. And after the mass, each of us had the chance to go up one by one and venerate the relics of the skull. So it was just, there couldn't have been a better way. We just loved that beautiful celebration of San Valentino, John.
And from one celebration to another, I understand Carnevale has begun in Roma.
Carnevale has begun in Rome. In fact, it started on the 13th of February officially. So what that means for us is that especially on Sundays, we see little ones, kids dress up. They dress up in all kinds of costumes, and they go throughout the city spreading confetti. So little pieces of confetti. In fact, they're all over the streets through from now until the start of Lent. You see these little pieces of confetti everywhere. And people will also start enjoying castagnole, which is a sugar-coated nut. They'll start enjoying frappe. These are like, it's crispy fried dough in these corrugated ribbon shape. So these are the changes that we see, especially during this time of Carnivale. And when you walk through any of the parks, especially on a Sunday, you're going to get covered with confetti. And as you pass by any bakery, you will see that the windows are full of frappe and castagnole. And next week, I will share with you, too, some of the history of Carnivale and how it's been celebrated over the years here in Bella Italia, John.
It sounds great. Thanks so much for painting such a wonderful picture of what's happening in Bella Roma. Thank you so much, Ashley, for bringing Rome to home to our audience as you do every Wednesday. Thanks, Ashley.
Well, I love it. Have a buona giornata. God bless you.
Grazie. Thank you so much. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent, joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. And of course, you can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. All you have to do is go to Relevant in Rome. Coming up on Morning Air, after we take a short break, a Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar is going to be with us to discuss how to change parish life to a community life. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on the other side.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, I want to talk about our Catholic Church, especially on the local level. The parish is where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, communities of action, and of hope. Parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are also the heart of our Catholic Church. Now, the question is, how do you get involved with parish life? And more importantly, how can we change parish life to community life? Joining us now live is Catholic evangelist and author Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas, to talk about this issue. Omar is the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, and the author of the book Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos, Latino Catholics in the U.S. Good morning, Omar. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you, with our Relevant Radio family.
Good morning, John. It's great to be back, and happy Wednesday to you and all your listeners.
Thank you, Omar. You know, Omar, I know that you firsthand have a lot of experience at the parish level as a director of religious education. What's been your experience when working at the parish level? How can we make all parishioners, young and grown-ups as well, feel welcomed?
Well, yes, absolutely. And that's one of the key parts of everything that we do within a church, within a parish, right? That we allow those coming in to experience Christ from the moment they drive it into the parking lot, from the moment they step into the narthex, into the community hall, into the parish hall, into the office, whatever they do, whatever they come in for, whatever the reason that brings them to the church. Whoever is there, all of us that work there, or even if you're just helping or volunteering, you know, or main, and if you want to put it this way, our sacred duty is to allow them to experience Christ, that everything that we do is make, and we make it in love, everything that we say, that our actions reflect, that we are followers of Christ, that everything that we do, it feels like it's unique, it's different, and whoever comes to us, regardless of the reason why, they need to experience, even if it's for a brief moment, but they need to experience an encounter with Christ.
Omar, have you noticed high school, college kids when they get to that age, oftentimes just kind of leaving the parish and just not getting involved. According to different surveys, as many as 50% of young kids, especially at college age, just basically take a vacation from their Catholic faith.
Oh, yes. And that is a huge issue for all of us, for all the parishes, because sadly, sometimes we don't convey the message enough that when you do receive confirmation, and it is not a go-away party. It's not the end of the road. It's the last check mark and off I'm gone. No. In the other hand, it's the welcoming party. It's finally you're going to be active. Finally, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you. It's going to give you the strength. It's going to give you the wisdom to utilize, to put your talents, your gifts to the service of others, to become part of the community in a very active and positive way. And sometimes we don't convey the message enough during the 2 years of faith formation for confirmation. And sadly, that's one of the reasons why we lose so many youth, so many young adults, because they see this just as another check mark. I just got to check the box and off I'm gone. I don't need to be here. But it's totally the contrary. It's when you're finally able to say, okay, here I am, Lord. Is there anything that I can do? How can I be part of my community? And that's another aspect that for many of our youth and young adults, they never feel part of a community. They know they have to go to church, and that's what they go on Sundays, and that's what they go to classes, but they never feel the church, the parish, as their community. That's something that all of us that are involved in ministry, in the parish life, we need to make sure that we're allowing them to experience Christ to a community of faith through people that care and loves them.
I guess the question is then, how do you change that mindset, that mentality, from just parish life to really a true community life?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? How do we do that? And to me, it's very simple, yet it's not easy to do it. But to me, it's always going back to the church, to the beginning. How was it? What was that in the beginning that attracted so many people? And it was the love. The way they love one another, it was shocking to this pagan with so many different gods and so many religions. It was so shocking that there were this small and yet so loving community that they were able to literally shock the world by the way they love one another. For us, it is still the same. It is still the same. And for us also, up to today, we still need listening to the Holy Spirit that is still calling us, all of us, to be active, to be active members of the body of Christ, which is the church. You know, sometimes we sit back and we criticize. We say, well, you know, that person is not doing a good job. I can do a better job. Or you know, they're doing amazing. They don't need me. Or there's nothing I can do here. But on the contrary, the Holy Spirit is calling all of us to be active members of the body of Christ. And yes, not all of us can be the eye. Not all of us can be the right foot. Not all of us can be the left hand. But yet all of us are called to do something, to be in love with our faith. And for henceforth, we need to be loving one another in everything that we do. And so for us, the challenge remains the same, John, to be a loving community.
Omar, are there any suggestions that you have of how we can invite and really get young adults engaged and involved in various parish ministries? Drawing again from your experience as a director of religious education there at Mary Immaculate Parish in Farmers Branch, Texas.
Yes, definitely. One of the things that we always need to remember is that we need to love one another, and we need to show others that we care for them, that they truly matter to us, that we're not only doing it because we have to, because, you know, I'm a catechist or I'm the director or I'm just here helping serving food or whatever. No, we're doing it because we, first of all, we know that Christ loves us, right? He said it very clearly and beautiful, you know, you're not my servants any longer. I call you friends. And that's who we are. We're Christ's friends, and we are called to take this friendship to one another and to show it to one another. So for all of us involved in ministry, one way or another, whether you're doing it a full time or whether you're a volunteer or whether you're thinking about joining your ministries in your community, I got to tell you, we're always desperately needing volunteers. People are willing to give us to sacrifice an hour, a couple hours a week, maybe on the weekend, to help us serve our community better. So for all of us, the main and once again, sacred duty is to love one another and to show them that, we truly care for them, that we want them to experience Christ. And for many of them, the first way they're going to experience Christ, the first way they're going to experience the saints, they're going to experience the church is through the service, through those that are there working and helping them.
Omar, can you give us a few examples of good ways to create and provide opportunities for connecting at the parish level so that you feel loved, you feel like you're part of a family?
Yes, absolutely. Never be afraid to try something new. You know, sometimes we kind of sit back on the status quo, and because this is the way that we've been doing things here in this parish for 30 years, and no, we don't do that because, you know, that's totally against who we are as a parish. So never be afraid to try something new, perhaps a new ministry. Perhaps you need to start switching up your classes. Perhaps you need to start doing things a little different. Perhaps you need to start listening to your community. You know, what is it that a community, that your parish community is asking you to do? What is it that they need? And that's another thing, right? Never be afraid to change, but also never be afraid to listen to the community, to listen to your parishioners, because at the end of the day, that's the reason we're there, because we want to serve our community. And so, and thirdly, obviously, always pray, ask, and be willing to follow the Holy Spirit. He's always there guiding us, telling us, inspiring us, and never be afraid to let Him lead us.
Omar, at your parish, what's been your experience in terms of the most popular ministries that people feel inspired to want to be a part of?
Well, there's a couple of ministries, and they're done bilingually in English and in Spanish, but definitely the ministries that are principally working with Holy Hour, with praise and worship, those two ministries, they meet once a month. One meets on Wednesdays, and the Arise meets on Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of the month, and then the Spanish part of it meets the last Friday of the month. And these two ministries bring an amazing group of people, volunteers, and people even from other parishes. They want to come and experience the presence of Christ through praise and worship and confessions and Holy Hour. So these two ministries are very powerful because, once again, at the center of it is Christ and His love for all of us.
You know, Catholics often feel like they're not being fed. Can you talk about the beauty and the power of having a Bible study at a parish level so that somebody feels part of the family? We have about 30 seconds.
No, absolutely. It is key part, right? It's the magisterium, everything that the church has teaching us for millennia. But at the same time, it's the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, that it needs to be alive and it needs to be present. So definitely all of the parishes, one way or another, need to have this space, this encounter with the living Word of God, which at the end of the day, remember, is feeding us every week, at least every Sunday we're listening to the living Word of God. So it is great when we try to do these things on a more consistent level and perhaps in a smaller level with smaller groups. So absolutely, by all means, you know, that's another key ministries that we need to work hard to have in all of our parishes.
Well, Omar, I so much appreciate your perspective, your insights. I know you're on the front lines, and you're speaking a lot from experience of seeing what a good parish, how it functions, and the importance of really feeling like you're part of a parish family. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you, John.
God bless you, too. Omar Aguilar, Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Mother's Opinion. At 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. 8 years of age, my mom knows a whole lot. 12 years of age, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. 16 years of age, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. 18 years of age, oh, that old woman, she's way out of date. 25 years of age, well, she might know a little bit about it. At 35, Well, before we decide, let's get Mom's opinion. 45 years of age? I wonder what Mom would have thought about that. 65 years old. I wish I could talk it over with Mom. Proverbs 31, 26 and 27. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Thanks so much, Glenn. As always, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyon, will join us to talk about how to accompany someone who has just lost a loved one. And I know this is an issue that hits home for me, as we just lost a loved one in our family, my father-in-law. Plus, career coach Bruce Lockenauer is going to be with us to talk about negotiating well while landing your dream job. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come on Morning Air next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.